going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hello there, New York sports fans. I am Danielle McCartan, and I'll be talking all things New York sports with you right until sunrise at 6 a.m. here in New York City and beyond. So thanks for tuning in. Pete Kennedy and I are live right here in Lower Manhattan, 888-808-1019. Call me up. Be part of that conversation. So I figured a good jump-off point for us, as Pete just said, let me get the red pen out. It's time to assign draft grades for both the Yankees, for the Giants, and for the Jets. So we are here on the Giants Radio Network, and we'll start with the Giants. I just want to give you the grade straight out. I give Joe Shane an A-. That's right, A- for Joe Shane and company in East Rutherford. Again, call me up, 888-808-1019. Let me know your thoughts as well. But here we go. The only reason why I gave him an A- and not an A is only really because I would have loved to have seen that wide receiver room addressed. The real only threat there is Malik Nabers, let's be honest. So other than that, the picks that the Giants did make, great. So we'll go chronologically. The Giants could not screw it up at 3. Could they have? No, because either they were going to get Hunter or they were going to get Carter. And I am so glad it was Abdul Carter. There were only 2 players in this entire draft that the scouts labeled as having what they call Pro Bowl talent. That's the highest level of scoring you can get from these scouts. Only 2 guys received that label: Ashton Jeanty and Abdul Carter. And B, you know, Travis Hunter is great and all, but he stated very firmly that he wants to play on both sides of the ball. And to make that demand so outright now, I don't know about that. But, you know, a cool thing to play on both sides of the ball at the NFL level. But for me, in and of itself, that raises big-time questions about durability and longevity for Travis Hunter. So instead, the Giants come away with Abdul Carter. He will be an immediate force on that Giants defensive line, which, oh, by the way, don't look now, might be one of the best in the NFL. You have Carter, you've got Lawrence, Thibodeau, and Burns. Like, yikes. And then in one of the biggest storylines in the draft, and we'll get to Shador coming up in a little while, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll decided to pick or around pick 22 or 23, that they were going to go ahead and move up and get their quarterback of the future. And that kid's name, that young man's name, Jackson Dart. And to do that, the Giants traded to Houston picks 34, which ended up being a wide receiver out of Iowa State, Jaden Higgins. And they traded pick 99, which was a Giants compensatory pick, which ended up in the Raiders' hands. And they picked an offensive tackle named Charles Grant. And then the Giants gave up a third rounder next season. So on the surface, the deal was great. They didn't give up too much. And on my draft chart, and if you're a fan of my show, you know that I do extensive work, extensive color coding, extensive charts on a lot of these players. I can't even venture to guess because there are a lot of them. But I have to be honest, on my draft chart of all the quarterbacks, on the row that is Jackson Dart, I colored him in orange. Now, my color scale is this. Green, surefire. Abdul Carter was a green. Then there's yellow, which is like, you know, proceed with caution. Then there's orange, which is like, I don't know about that one. And then red is like, stay away. So I gave a, I don't know about that one, to Jackson Dart based on his scouting report. And to be fair, most of the quarterbacks this year were in that zone. But some things that concerned me in Jackson Dart's scouting report: lazy footwork at times, off-platform throws feel what they call very labored, deep throws lack energy and force wide receivers to break stride, and zone coverages give him problems. But he runs with good vision. He gets away from trouble. He works a full field of progressions. He's a good decision maker, especially on third down. So there is a lot to like, too. Jackson Dart is working with some stuff. So he's working with some stuff. And then the question is he a fit? Well, he led FBS in passes over 20 yards. And he's got Malik Nabers to push it deep vertically. He's a perfect fit in terms of RPOs and design runs, so this might just work out. And most of all, and call me crazy if you'd like, 888-808-1019, I actually trust Brian Daboll's process after watching it with my own eyes on Hard Knocks. Because, as we all know, Brian Daboll wanted Jaden Daniels last year. They went through extensive research, extensive homework on the guy. You saw him quiz, ask him a question about, you know, what the weather is outside, and boom, what's this play I told you 45 minutes ago? I loved that. Loved it. So if Brian Daboll likes Jackson Dart, and Brian Daboll, the quarterback whisperer, thinks he can coach those things on the scouting report out of Jackson Dart, well, then, you know what? I'm going to go with it. If Brian Daboll can coach those things out of Dart, then I'm all for it. Joe Shane said the Giants went through, and this was a quote, he said, an extensive quarterback process that started up as far back as late May. So almost a year ago, they started doing homework on these guys. Brian Daboll was asked, I think it was by Paul Dottino, I think that was his voice, what he likes about Jackson Dart. And I loved his answer.
I like his competitive fire. I like his accuracy. I like his ability, again, to push the ball down the field. His athletic ability to run with the football. I know the system that they ran down there at Ole Miss is similar to the one we had at Alabama. So there's some carryover on some of these things, but I think this guy's got better every year he's played. He's a leader. He was smart. He has the attributes that we were looking for.
And Brian Daboll also said in that presser that he played in a very tough conference. And to me, that so often goes overlooked. The quality of the opponent, the potential draftee, and especially a quarterback, plays against. Again, what I'm saying is this. It seems as though Brian Daboll, over the course of the last 11 months, has left no stone unturned in the pursuit of Jackson Dart. And we all had a front row seat, and we already saw how thorough he was going into last draft in scouting a potential quarterback. If Brian Daboll likes a guy, I trust them. But the problem I have is this. If you were looking for a quarterback as far back as last May, which is what you said, Joe Shane, and you knew there existed a permutation in which you'd trade up to go ahead and pick one, then why the hell did you bring in both Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston? One is fine, because as you know, I am of the belief quarterbacks like Dart, picked so high up, you know, first round, that are playing in this market should sit for at least an entire year, at least before they start a game. But a quarterback room of DeVito, who Daboll's system is all he knows, he could be a huge asset to anyone trying to learn it. Dart and one of Wilson or Winston would have been ideal for me. And I'm sure Dart will be hitting the books. He'll be in the film room as hard as anyone would. But with the quarterback room, the way it is currently constructed, how the heck are the Giants going to find snaps with the first team for Dart to improve physically and at NFL speed? You got to do it to get it a lot of times in sports. I coach football now, and you got to do it to get it. And I'm not sure there's going to be enough doing going around for Dart to naturally progress. And that is my biggest issue at the moment. Cool. You can work with the guy. But, like, when? As a scout team quarterback? Come on. Other than that, unlike Darren Mooji, Joe Shane killed the late round draft picks, and that means that's a good thing. Of them, Darius Alexander could be a player, and I am most excited to see what Cam Scatabue can bring to that table as a 1-2 punch with Tyrone Tracy. The scouting report on Scatabue is glowing. I can't wait to see him. He's a tough SOB. Then you've got Marcus, is it Mbau? Primarily a right tackle out of Purdue. Joe Shane found him in the fifth round. Here's what the scouting report said. Rockets out of stance and slams into initial target with force. At that point, I was like, whoa. Fast to process and adjust blocking assignments on the go. Okay. And has the quickness and takes angles. I mean, for a fifth rounder, that's also a glowing scouting report. Then, I don't know if he's Italian, but the last name is Fidone. I think it might be. Thomas Fidone II, tight end out of Nebraska. I mean, we'll see. But Corey Black in the seventh round might have some potential. And there's not one guy that Joe Shane drafted this spring that I look at and say, yeah, he's not going to make the team. So I feel very comfortable with assigning the Giants an A- for the 2025 draft. The deduction coming for not addressing the wide receiver room. But most important, I would say, if you're looking at this wide-angle lens, bird's-eye view, drone view, if you will, nowadays, but the most important thing is this. The Giants front office and the coaching staff set them up themselves up for success. And what do I mean by that? It didn't feel like there was a tinge or the feeling of picking to save their jobs, which is what I was most worried about going into this draft, because as you know, both of them are in the last year of their deals. So it didn't feel like to me that, okay, well, these guys are just picking these guys to save their jobs. I think they're both going to be saved. A, Joe Shane by this draft, and B, Brian Daboll by picking a rookie quarterback, of course, whom he's going to have to work with over the next couple of years. This is not a one-year process, and he's already told you that. Almost in those exact words, he's almost told you that in the opening, the press conference after the first round. So I like what the Giants did overall. We switch to the Jets. I mean, Darren Mooji and the Jets hit all of their needs. Was it in the right combination or order of position picks? No, I don't think so. Let's look at it at this in order here. So Armon Membu, he was the best offensive lineman in the draft. Not by much, but ultimately, I'll be honest, it's not what I wanted. I wanted Tyler Warren, a tight end, Tyler Warren. And if you watch the videos I put up at Coach MCCARTAN, you know that. But I have to say, Muji was right in this. I'm glad the Jets picked the offensive lineman in the first round, because what went in the second round and later was no good. So, a compromise from the expectation of Tyler Warren, the best tight end and one of the top four players in the entire draft, on or to the reality of Mason Taylor, the third best tight end in this draft. Now, okay, he's a good player. He's good enough. But according to the scouting report, he is a one-speed route runner who lacks attention to detail. And I guess the Jets think they can coach him up on that. He won't be much help as a blocker, both in the run and the pass. But he's got good extension, natural hands, and a large catch radius. That from the scouting report. All right, so he's a good player. But all that said, at that spot, Darren Muji left the second best cornerback behind Travis Hunter and the seventh best overall player on the board to make that pick, which in my opinion should have been the cornerback Will Johnson out of Michigan. Because the craziest thing, it was a great glowing scouting report, and the craziest thing I read from his report was pre-snap play recognition makes it seem like he was in the offensive huddle. That's wild, and you cannot teach that. I'm sorry. Can you imagine Will Johnson and Sauce Gardner on the same squad? The Jets would never get beat deep. Well, you're going to have to still imagine it and dream about it, because Darren Muji missed that primary position, that premier position in the second round to take a tight end, which the Jets haven't figured out how to use one in my entire lifetime. The early bird, if you will, did not get the worm in this situation. The Cardinals plucked Will Johnson five picks later. I'm also not crazy about the Azari Thomas pick in the third round, because the Jets left two, and Darren Muji left two safeties, which is a huge position of need for the team on that board. I like Jonas Senker, who went to the Saints 20 picks later, but I loved Xavier Watts, who went to the Falcons three after him. You look at what the Jets are working with at safety. Starting safety, as of right now, Andre Sisko. PFF graded him 118 out of 171 in the league. That's rough. And he only had one interception last season. Tony Adams, not much better. He was graded 65th out of 171. And he only had, you guessed it, one interception last season. And it is clear and obvious. The Jets struggled with creating turnovers, especially off the pass. There were only three teams in the league with fewer interceptions than the Jets had, which was seven, by the way. The Jaguars, the Giants, and the Browns, in that order. That's not company you want to be with in this situation here. So naturally, you've got Darren Muji picking a guy in Thomas who has only had exactly two picks in his entire collegiate career. What? Watts had six just last season alone. Muji missed badly on this pick by leaving him on the board. As far as the late round picks, well, I don't know. The Jets must feel like they've got some secret sauce to teach Arian Smith, the wide receiver out of Georgia, how to catch the ball. I've never seen this before in a scouting report. A deeply troubling drop rate. I mean, that's bad. But he's super fast, so maybe he's a good asset to have on a jet sweep. Maybe just hand the ball off to him instead of throwing it to him. I don't know. Label me, though, not a fan. I like the pick of Malachi Moore, safety out of Alabama in the fourth round, mostly because it was in the fourth round. And again, should Muji have nailed Watts earlier? You know, we'll see how this guy pans out, this Moore guy. But he has game day ready experience on special teams, which I guess counts for something. He was the team captain at Alabama for the last two seasons. He was asked to play high, low, and in the slot. He's got good anticipation of route breaks off, man. That's fine. But at that spot in the draft, he was a good find there. But not as good as picking Xavier Watts. I'm sorry. And then you got Francisco Mayonga. Maui Goa? Linebacker at Miami in the fifth round. What I'll say about him is, I actually don't even think he makes the team ultimately. And what stood out to me was, will be mismatched if asked to cover man in the pros. Lacks adequate speed for sideline to sideline range. Can't make an open field tackle. That's not good if you're a linebacker. So ultimately, I can't see him even making the team. So let's do it in reverse order here. Grade time. You ask yourself, is this Jets team better than it was last year? Yes. Did the Jets address all, if not most, of the positions they needed to hit this draft? Also, yes. I am not a fan of the way they went about it. Muji went Membu, Mason Taylor, Azariah Thomas in that order. Based on what was available, I would have gone, I guess we'll start with Membu here, then Will Johnson, then Xavier Watts, and then your defense is back, man. Back. And I'm certainly not an NFL general manager by any means. I just play one on the radio. But I think that my top three far outweigh the top three of what Muji and the Jets did this spring. So my final grade for the Jets, whereas the Giants I gave an A-. Final grade for the Jets, B-. Simply because they left huge talent on the board and looked elsewhere in rounds 2 and 3. And of course, let us all have a prayer circle here and pray that Armon Membu works out for them too. 888-808-1019. Give us a call, Pete and I. Let me know if I am on the mark or totally off the mark on my grading and my evaluation of how the Jets and Giants performed in the 2025 NFL draft. Don't get me wrong, both teams got better. But if you ask me which team made more changes to get better than the other one, it's the Giants. It's not the Jets. They left some huge talent on the board. I'm sorry. Again, 888-808-1019. My name is Danielle McCartan with you here on The Fan.